for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's February 2021, and you're listening to episode 224, which is a discussion about the pop culture philosophy called YOLO. On this episode, I'm joined by Anne Kennedy, who has an MDiv and is the author of Nailed It, 365 Readings for Angry or Worn Out People. Anne blogs about current events and theological trends at Preventing Grace on patheos.com. Anne has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and her article is called You Only Die Once, Why It's Okay Not to Live in the Present. And you can read her online exclusive article at our website, equip.org, when you subscribe to our print magazine. Anne, it's good to have you on.
It's so great to be here. Thank you.
Well, as I mentioned, Anne is here to talk to us about the term YOLO, and it's kind of become this hipster term, you know, in the last decade or so, specifically with millennials and maybe Gen Z generations kind of throwing around the term. So I feel like we're going to be hipster today, so I can say hashtag YOLO. But what exactly are the origins of YOLO?
Well, I am a Gen Xer, so I'm not good at knowing what all the young people are saying today. And I was definitely reading about this as feeling like an outsider, like I didn't really understand what all the fuss was about. And so the term is actually really old. It's not just that it arrived on the scene with Drake in the early 2000s, which is what I originally thought. It goes way back, all the way to the early part of the last century. And it's been trademarked a few times, but there's a lot of dispute about who gets to own the term or who gets to put it, you know, make money off of it. So it's quite old, but it really came into prominence after Drake. People began to use it more often, and there was a lot you could buy merch with YOLO written on it. And then it also was a great spoof song that was on Saturday Night Live and was watched by lots and lots of people. And that song, a spoof, kind of subverted the original meaning, which was you only live once, so you should take risks, to you only live once, so you should not do anything because once you die, you know, this is it. So there's a whole range of meanings, the ways that people use it, but it goes up and down, and each new generation finds a reason to say YOLO and to change the meaning ever so slightly.
Well, you're talking about each generation having a term that kind of encompasses the sentiment of YOLO, and you mentioned you're a Gen Xer, and I'm a Gen Xer too, and I remember back in the day when the film Dead Poets Society came out, and the big term from that film, which I'm sure was around before the film, but in terms of cultural awareness, was carpe diem, like seize the day. So is this idea, is this the next version of carpe diem for the younger generation, or is YOLO different than that?
I think that it's darker than that. I think it's interesting because I loved the Dead Poets Society movie when it came out, but it occurred to me as I was thinking about it recently that, you know, it did end with a really dark turn. It did end with a suicide and the sort of dying gasp of that there's really nothing worthy to live for. That sort of undercurrent in that movie, I think, has come into full flower with the current YOLO. This sort of desperation, there's nothing underneath anything that we're doing, there's no real meaning underneath anything, is definitely at the fore of current uses of YOLO. You know, you shouldn't bother with the future. Just do whatever it is that you feel like doing, even in a very crass way, because it doesn't matter. Life is essentially meaningless, I think, is how it seems to be coming into being now. In fact, as I was reading, I mean, a part of the problem for me is that a lot of the things that people are talking about, I can't keep up with the technology that's coming into our hands all the time, the different apps the new platforms to express yourself. And so that very quick pace of change, I think, is reflected in the term itself, YOLO. It just, you know, as soon as you do something, it's obsolete. So use it and throw it away. And that's kind of a good metaphor, I think, for how younger people are thinking about life and their lived experience now. It's just so swift. It's so meaningless. And it's so over quickly that there's no reason to spend time thinking about it or making plans or doing anything about it.
You know, I was just thinking about this whole idea of YOLO when we're, you know, I was preparing to talk to you today, and just, you know, how does it impact really the expectations of younger generations? And by younger generations, I mean generations younger than me. So millennials, although millennials are almost 40 now, so maybe Gen Z would be a better way to think of it. You know, some of the kids that have really grown up in tech. And by the way, I think there actually is an app called YOLO where people ask various questions. Would you do this or would you do that? Something like that. But in other words, would you say that this whole ethos of YOLO would cause people, the younger generations, to embrace hedonism more? I sometimes wonder if it causes them to just really wait for the better offer, kind of a thing. I mean, I think that's kind of unique to some of the younger generations where they really don't want to commit to going to any place or, you know, gasp RSVP because they don't know if maybe a better offer will come up later. So if they just leave their schedule open, you know, and they want to embrace YOLO, then they can just see what will come of it. You know, does it have that kind of relaxed feel to it? Or is it, like you said, you know, in the Dead Poets Society, there was like a darker turn and there was a little bit more of this existential, there's no meaning to life? Or do you see it more of like, hey, let's party now, we're going to die tomorrow?
I feel like it's weirdly both things at the same time. And I think that because partly having watched COVID happen over the last year, on the one hand, I've noticed that young people in particular are so cautious about COVID, at least, I mean, you can't pigeonhole any particular generation with COVID because everybody lands in a different place. But I've noticed that the young have been, in some cases, way more fearful and more careful about not getting COVID than older generations. And at the same time, yeah, there is this sort of relaxed, like it doesn't really matter feeling. It's an interesting sort of clash. It feels like even within one conversation, I'll get a sense of combating feelings about how to approach life or what to do next. And the YOLO things that I've come across, on the one hand, well, people like me use it probably pretty dismissively, like, that's not true. You're not only going to live once. So, you know, what a stupid thing to say. Whereas you also see it amongst people who are really young as you're only going to live once. So it's okay to be super crass or treat people badly, or it doesn't matter. You know, there's no consequences to anything that I'm doing because I'm going to die. So it's a strange, I don't know, I guess it's probably the term itself, the way people use it is as weird and as mixed as all the different kind of forces that are showing itself in our culture and in our pop culture, for sure.
So, like you were saying earlier, there's just been all these different iterations of this same concept, whether it's Carpe Diem or YOLO, just like you're only going to live one time, and just this whole thing that's pretty prevalent in our culture in terms of being present in just the moment that you find yourself in. And I know several years ago, maybe it's been almost a decade, that whole idea was, you know, on the rise again, but in the form of this idea of the power of now. So is YOLO the same thing as the power of now?
Well, YOLO is pop culture and it's like a slogan that you can just adopt and no big deal. You know, it's sort of fun. And the power of now is not fun. And it's also kind of dark. Like it's supposed to be cheerful and happy and release you from all of your anxiety and sadness. but it also has this strange doubling down effect on the fact that there's nothing beyond this particular moment. And so you have to take hold of it. You can't let any single moment get away from you because that's all there is. It is kind of old, but it does seem to have sort of seeped out the power of now into just sort of the underconsciousness of the way that people act and think. And so it's not the same, you know, the people who are trying to get rid of their anxiety by thinking about the power of now are not the people who are using hashtag YOLO at all, but they live in the same kind of world. They have the same kind of assumptions about what life is and what will come next.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Anne Kennedy. She's written an online exclusive article for our subscribers. Her article is called You Only Die Once, Why It's Okay Not to Live in the Present. And you can access this article when you subscribe to our print magazine at equip.org. Now, I want to take time, which I normally just talk to you about the ways in which you can partner with us, which I still will highlight, but really to talk to you about why we're asking you to partner with us, why we're offering these articles to subscribers who support our print magazine, and why we make these online articles exclusive for them. And that is, I think just with the advent of the internet over the last almost 30 years, there's an expectation when it comes to articles and newspapers that all the information would be free. Now, there's a lot of great information for free on the internet. However, we just feel as a Christian organization that we want to be able to give our authors a very small, very modest honorarium for the many hours that they spend researching and studying and writing for our journal and for the online articles that you would read. And I know that everyone who has a job at this point where they're paid, they do want to be paid for doing excellent work so that they are able to, you know, support their family, pay their bills and those kinds of things. But we just want to be able to give our writers some honorarium for all the work that we do because we think that their work is worth all their time and we want to be respectful for that and remunerate them for it. And so that's why we ask for you to consider giving us a tip, $3, $5, $10, which you can easily do if you go to equip.org, go to magazine at the drop-down menu, you'll see Postmodern Realities. Any of the landing pages has a link where you can tip us, or just to be a subscriber at $33.50, because all the subscribers together are helping us to be able to remunerate our authors and to help us to produce our print magazine. And the other thing is that if you're not able to subscribe to the magazine at this time, and you know, not everybody is, and we're completely understanding of that, we want you to partner with us in very practical ways, which is just tell a friend about this podcast, or even better yet, if you rate and review our podcast, whether you give us a starred review or whether you give us a short 1 to 2 sentence review. It helps other people find this content where they can be equipped in their faith. So thank you for all the ways in which you partner with us. We were talking about just the power of now and how that was popular recently, maybe for sure not, maybe with an older generation. I think just because of the book by Eckhart Tolle that Oprah really promoted. But is that related, you know, when I think of like living in the now, we a while back has done an article on mindfulness and people can read that for free online at our website, equip.org. The whole idea, it's kind of like this Eastern concept of being mindful of the present and really living in that, being grounded in the present moment as opposed to really worrying. It's a kind of almost a Buddhist kind of thing, you know, where you don't really worry about the past as much. You want to overcome that and you don't want to really worry about the future. You just want to live in the now. So is that also, is that related to the, you know, cultural phenomenon of YOLO, this idea of mindfulness?
I do think the mindfulness thing is really coming into Christianity, maybe by way of YOLO, I don't know. But the sort of marriage of keeping your attention fixed on the minute that you're in with a Christian idea, I think, of not wasting your time, because, you know, God calls you to take up your cross and follow him, to reckon with the time. You should give your life to him where you are and not wait. There's an urgency about the call of the gospel. And that has sort of, I think, been starting to be watered down by the sort of Oprah mindfulness, so that it's not really anymore about you following Jesus and making wise choices because of eternity, and more about how you're feeling in the minute and how you can get rid of your anxiety. Mindfulness is just become part of the way that people think too. That, I mean, the whole bullet journal worlds, which is about planning for the future, but it's got this sort of twist on, you know, how you can sort of put your mind on the paper and not lose track of anything. It's got almost religious significance about it in some cases, that if you can just control your mind and stay where you are, you'll achieve a temporal happiness, which is as good as eternity, basically, it seems like. Eckhart Tolle is a really interesting person to listen to. And the way that he does the mindfulness thing actually takes it beyond Buddhism, I think. And one of the really great articles on CRI, you know, is the new religion that he's made, I think, along with Oprah, centers the question of mindfulness in a really profoundly subjective way on yourself and the moment that you're in. You can't ever get out of it. And you shouldn't even try. And that's the only hope that you have. So I don't know, the mindfulness thing, I'm seeing it more and more in Christian places. And it kind of, I don't know if it creeps me out. It just makes me nervous because it's not a really true Christian concept.
You mentioned the bullet journal. I recently heard about that. And when I looked into it, it had that Buddhism vibe to it, where if I just empty my mind of absolutely everything that I need to do, and then I organize it almost like in this journal that becomes my Bible, because it's everything. I mean, so think of moms. I mean, it's like every schedule that my kid has, every, you know, meeting, parent-teacher conference, but also my menu planning, but also my Bible reading, but also all these things. It kind of supersedes, it becomes your Bible over the Bible. And it's this idea too, that even as it relates to the future, like, if at the end of this week I didn't do things that I thought I should do, well, then I can decide, should I really do them or not? And if I don't, I just discard those things from my life. Kind of like a journaling view of Marie Kondo or something. You know, those things didn't bring me joy, so I've just moved on. And you're right about the mindfulness. I've seen, you know, Christian books with the phrase mindfulness on it. And again, it's such an Eastern term tied to like Eastern religious concepts. But I guess the question, you know, for the Christian is, as we grapple with it, or we might, you know, even see our kids, you know, we might come across some social media posts that they did where they're like hashtag YOLO. How do we, you know, really deal with that in terms of a Christian worldview? In other words, is there anything Christian about living in the moment, or, you know, carpe diem, seizing the day? Or you mentioned in your article, you know, John Piper's book, Don't Waste Your Life, you know, and recently had a follow-up when you had cancer, Don't Waste Your Cancer. Is there something at all that could be tied to, you know, biblical Christianity?
I mean, I think that the call of the gospel is really clear and it's urgent, and it's for now. You know, we could use a lot of the same words. And, you know, and the text in morning prayer yesterday, you know, in my Anglican world was about, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough anxiety. And so only worry about what you have going on today. Jesus says that. So there is a deep sense for the Christian that you need to be content where you are. You need to do what Jesus has for you to do in the moment that you're in, and that you should follow him immediately, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You have no idea how long your life will be, or what will happen to you, or what's coming down the pike. So yes, there is a sense for the Christian life that you should try to keep your mind, some people might say, in the present. I don't think that's really the way that you should think about it. You should keep your mind fixed on Jesus, who is eternal and who is, you know, now that he's at the right hand of the Father, he's outside of time. So if you keep your eyes fixed on him, he'll help you in the moment that you are in. And that's not what Eastern mindfulness is. And it's not even what a bullet journal is. And it's not YOLO either. So, in fact, I think that the idea of mindfulness, of centering yourself in the moment that you're in, is actually a horrible extra-biblical law that Christians should be really careful about. I mean, I think as a person who believes in God's sovereignty, it's not really possible for me to waste my life. I'm locked in time, and I'm stuck here, and I am limited, and I'm blind, and I am deaf, and I am a sinner. And so because of who I am, I'm going to waste my life. And so, you know, I am kind of trapped where I am, but that's a bad thing. I have to look to Jesus, and he helps me out of this moment, which is often very terrible, into a better moment, which is eternity, and ultimately the new heavens and the new earth. So I think if you're not really, you haven't had your thinking clearly formed by biblical categories about time and heaven and hell and the nature of God, then you might hear something like, I need to live in the moment, and then hear some of that stuff in the scripture and think that those are the same thing, and they are really not the same. And if you follow the mindfulness way, you're going to end up being actually very exhausted and trapped. You know, you'll be a slave to now and unable to get out of it and into what God is doing in the world through time.
So how can the Christian really reorient their thinking on these kinds of topics to what the Bible teaches? In other words, you know, the Christian view of life and death isn't, you need to seize the moment now because you might die in 20 minutes. I mean, how should people be thinking biblically about both living for God's glory in this moment and having a worldview that is informed by scripture about life and death?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that a Christian can do is reject the idea that if you don't experience something right now, you will have really missed out on it. You know, that's one strain of YOLO. The fear of missing out is a big part of YOLO. If you don't get to do something in this life, or if you die young, or if you die without having eaten something, or die without ever being happy. If you die, you know, supposing you live a short life of sickness and then you die and you're never really happy, have you then wasted your life in a secular sense or even a biblical sense? And the answer to that is no. You can live a short, miserable life and go to be with Jesus, and you will have not missed out on anything. This life is a wilderness. It's a desert. It's not very nice. The biblical way of thinking about your day-to-day experiences is that they are tiresome and difficult, and you need the help of Jesus and the church to get through them. And you're just waiting until you get to see Jesus face to face. And so I think the Christian really needs to reorient away from the quick, flashy dissatisfaction of the world and of things, you know, the idea that you'll be able to be satisfied at all in this life, that you need to get rid of. And remember that you are a person who is going to die, and that until you die, life is going to be frustrating. And that if you do get to have happiness, that's awesome, but that wasn't the point of you being here. The reason to be here was to know Jesus and to obey him. Until Christians really make that shift, which they should never have shifted away from, but in American Christianity, that really happened very quickly. Until we kind of go back to a more Christian worldview about suffering and, you know, the desperation of life, I think that Christians will continue to be really unhappy instead of sort of being ready to endure and being excited about heaven.
I think there is a sense in which modern Christians, especially, you know, evangelicals, we have somehow bought into the American cultural zeitgeist of how we can pursue our happiness, or what we think a Christianized version of it is. I mean, I know some people who long to be married, and they're just thinking their life will begin when they get married or when they have kids or, you know, fill in the blank. And some of those people, I knew them in their 20s and they're now almost 40 and they're still waiting. So it's kind of like their life hasn't really been fulfilled or as good as it could have been because they're not married. That's just one example. I mean, it could be anything, you know, like, oh, I just didn't expect to see myself at, you know, 35 in this job. I always thought I would have a different job or a different career or, you know, have more kids or less kids or whatever it is. So how do Christians, you know, not embrace this idea of living in the moment? Because some of that I think is just out of fear. Like if I just live in the moment now, I maybe won't be thinking about other things that make me unhappy.
Well, I think it's possible to so center yourself on the moment because you know, there's a sort of a gaping maw in front of you and you don't know if you're going to pitch over, you know, can God take care of you in the future? So I'm just going to stick where I am right now. I don't know. I think YOLO is too reductive, you know, or carpe diem, or even don't waste your life. I mean, it's true. You shouldn't waste your life, but if you do, that's okay because God is still God. You know, he didn't expect you to do otherwise. He's not waiting for you to fulfill some grand plan. You know, it's like taking your spiritual gift test to find out how you can best serve the church, as if the church is missing out if you're not really living into your full capacity as a Christian. You know, all those are not really, they're maybe not be wrong, but they're not really biblical. The question of how you get through your life is a really complicated one. And sometimes you do need maybe to spend more time thinking about where you are and be content. And then other times, maybe you need to move, you know, you need to move along. You need to have ambition towards something that's really in the future. There's whole books of the Bible that are actually dedicated to this proposition of trying to figure out how to live. You know, Proverbs mainly and Ecclesiastes will help you with the nuances of, you know, are you discontent or do you have no ambitions and should you be working towards something in the future that maybe only your grandchildren will see and appreciate? It's too easy just to say, well, I need to live in the now, especially if the now is so terrible that the only way to endure it is if by focusing on the future or looking forward to your hope in heaven. The thing that I don't really love about YOLO or living in the now is that, again, it's all about you. You're in the center. You're evaluating your life according to the experiences that you have and the desires that you have and the plans that you have. And that's also not the Christian way. You should be living your life with your eyes on Christ and paying attention to other people around you and really pouring out yourself for them. And then it won't matter if you lived your life or you didn't live your life. You know, if you really devoted yourself to God's law, to loving God and loving your neighbor, for instance, and you were really saved by Jesus through his work on the cross, then what happened to you or how you felt while it was going on would always be secondary. And then you might experience happiness as the byproduct of doing what you should have been doing anyway. Mindfulness, Christian mindfulness, carpe diem, YOLO, all of that with you at the center is always going to leave you feeling like you did miss out and you didn't enjoy what was there. And I've noticed with some people, you'll even be really angry when you didn't get what you thought you should get. And that's not a good place to be.
As you were talking, I was thinking about a podcast I did with Dr. Clay Jones. It was episode 183, if anyone wants to listen to it, about immortality. And we talked about how people have these immortality projects that they try to do to make some sense of their life, I guess, so they don't, you know, don't waste their life. And even Christians can do that, you know, to think, well, if I, you know, had this particular project that I did or was a missionary in some certain way, or if I could be like Billy Graham or something like that, then people would remember me. But like you said, it's just so focused on the self. And even though that's thinking about the future too, some of that is very present as well. It's like, okay, what can I do so that I'm living in a way that people will remember me in light of eternal things and Christianity and so forth. Now, I want to ask you, like, how does this apply to the times we find ourselves in right now? And as of this recording, we are still grappling with a worldwide pandemic. So is there a balance really between, you know, thinking about the future, not being freaked out about the present or those kinds of things, you know, YOLO or whatever, or embracing YOLO because, you know, I could get COVID and die tomorrow or in a week.
Yeah, I found as I've tried to live through the last year, it is a balance. You know, you need to know that it's not going to last forever. Otherwise, you'll lose hope when you're in the middle of it. You know, you can't, I'm sorry, but I couldn't practice mindfulness this whole last year, or I would have lost the little bit of mind that I did have. So I think it's really helpful to know that God is eternal. And, you know, even actually, if we had a global pandemic for the rest of time until the apocalypse, and we never got out of this, it would still be okay because God is going to, you know, make a new heaven and a new earth. So it helps me to know about eternity in order to live in the present. But I think the other thing that I think is lost to Christians now, and that's a big part of why this sort of, I mean, YOLO is a very individualistic, the Carpe Diem is a very individualistic Western ideal. It's you making your own way in the world. And a better antidote or a better way to find balance maybe between the present and the future and the past is to embed yourself in the lives of other people. You know, if you want an immortality project, you know, you could immediately die and maybe you didn't get to do anything fun. But there should be, when you die, a certain amount of chaos for the people around you. So supposing you die of COVID, would anyone know that you died? You know, are you so connected to other people? Have you prayed for people so much? Have you been bound up in their sufferings and difficulties? Have you taken care of them? Have you let them take care of you? Have you embedded yourself in a church so that when you don't show up for Sunday worship, people are anxious about where you are or worried? If you haven't done any of that, then, well, you know, when you die, yeah, that'll have been it. In a temporal sense, of course, God can rescue you. But if you really want to live in the moment, you should live with other people. You should become very close emotionally and spiritually and practically with other people. And then the burden of your own ego isn't yours to carry alone. And when something bad happens to you, they can carry you along with them. And when you die, you know, they will mourn. And that is very human and very divine. It's what Jesus did when he was here. He, you know, I like, this is only occurring to me right now, but when Martha and Mary say to Jesus, when Lazarus dies, it was sort of interesting that Lazarus didn't only get to live once. He got to live twice, and then he got to live in eternity. And they said, you know, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But Jesus was embedded in their lives, and he grieved with them, even as he raised Lazarus from the dead. So, I mean, life is so complicated and death is so complicated. It's too small to say that you have to live according to a hashtag or according to the number of breaths that you can breathe in or out as you're washing your hands at the sink.
Well, I hope we've given some people food for thought. This has been very an interesting conversation. Well, now for something a much lighter, fun note, I hope. Well, it hasn't been fun that there's been a whole bunch of storms lately that's gripping most of the country right now. But if you could choose, rain or snow?
Oh, gosh. Rain. Rain, for sure.
I guess I'd have to say this is pre-COVID and maybe not in the state of California because they have very strict laws about this. But when you go to the store, paper, plastic, or reusable grocery bags?
Well, they have gotten rid of paper and plastic up here, and we only have up here in New York. We have to bring our own reusable bags, and I've gotten used to them. So I'd say probably paper if I had to pay for a bag in the store, but I've learned how to take my bags, and I'm okay with it now.
Self-checkout or just regular checkout with a cashier?
I've also come to love the self-checkout. I love doing my own checkout. It's so fun.
And it is cold, so what would you prefer, sweaters or sweatshirts?
Heavy wool sweaters.
Well, thanks, Anne, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
You've been listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast. From the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal, today's guest has been Ann Kennedy, who has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal subscribers, and it's called You Only Die Once, Why It's Okay Not to Live in the Present. You can read her online exclusive article at our website, equip.org, if you are a subscriber to the magazine or when you subscribe to the print magazine for $33.50. Thank you. We'd like to connect to you, so please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man YouTube channel and join in the conversation in the comments section and in the live chat when we have premiere videos. Please follow the Bible Answer Man page on Facebook and on Twitter. You will find us at Hank Hanegraaff, Bible Answer Man, Christian Research Institute, and Christian Research Journal, as well as on Instagram at the Bible Answer Man account. You won't want to miss every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern when we live stream the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff at our website, equip.org. In addition, please subscribe to the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank gets out of the studio and into his study and engages in in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. You'll want to head on over to equip.org because there you're going to find thousands of free resources for you in articles and past broadcasts, our podcasts, and videos. And thank you for all the ways in which you partner with the Christian Research Institute.